Steve Dale's Otherworld on WGN. Good afternoon. This is exciting because, and it's important, we're going to be talking to, look up in the sky right now, you see it falling down, right? Does this affect our skin? And what about the harsh winter weather? We'll be talking to, she is a skincare blogger, but more importantly, known as the Derm Diva. She's huge on Instagram, and we'll be talking to Renata Block a little bit later. And also, yeah, that's right, a Nobel Peace Prize nominee will be here. But for now, it's Peter Greenberg, who knows everything about travel, except Mr. Greenberg, you may not know because you could not know about this. And I want to repeat this, that right now, Chicago City buses are not taking Lakeshore Drive. They're circumventing the drive, so they're adjusting their routes to not go on Lakeshore Drive. So your trip, if you're going to take a bus that would ordinarily go on the drive, and there are many of them, is going to simply take a little bit longer. And be careful yourself on the drive, because they're concerned that water from Lake Michigan is going to end up on Lakeshore Drive. And that's never a good thing. Peter Greenberg, how are you?
I did not know that about the buses, but thank you for telling me.
Well, you never know. You might be in Chicago now. You're everywhere all the time, although I suppose even your travel has been impacted just a bit. And, you know, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has just said, you know what, we advise you not to travel. But I heard you on the radio, on this very radio station, because I listen to Eye on Travel all the time, every Saturday afternoon with my wife. And we've heard you say, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks back, you explained airplanes are actually pretty safe. So what's the concern?
It's not just the airplanes. That's the easy part. That really is the easy part. The fact is you've got to be responsible and situationally aware of the behavior of the people at the destination where you're flying to. And that's where the problem is. We've shot our show. I do my television show for PBS and also for CBS. We've shot it already in Turkey, in Croatia, in the Dominican Republic, in Mexico. And I can tell you that in those four locations, we did not have a problem. There are other locations right now in states like Florida and one part of Mexico where we would go, we're not going because they're not behaving well. You do your homework. You ask the questions before you go, and you find out exactly what their definition of social distancing is, hotel capacity numbers, and, of course, separation at restaurants. And you'll get a pretty good idea of whether or not people are behaving or not.
True enough. Our telephone number, 312-981-7200. You can text, you can call if you have questions for the legendary Mr. Peter Greenberg. All right. So let's say you're going to Mexico and you're doing your homework. I'll take your example here of Mexico. And in Mexico, from my knowledge, what's going on with COVID-19 ranges widely, depending on where you are in Mexico. But let's say you're going to a place where you know there isn't a heck of a lot of it, relatively speaking, and people are being careful. I would argue that that's true not only in parts of Mexico, but lots of places around the world where, in fact, you might be quote unquote safer than, I mentioned the CTA buses. People are pretty good in Chicago, but maybe even safer than riding a bus. So do you think the CDC is over responding here?
No, I don't. Remember, I do this for a living. Mm-hmm. And I do this to be able to report on travel for everybody else. But until we have a much more widespread dissemination of the vaccine and we get widespread rapid response testing procedures in place, you know, you do have to take a little bit more caution when you travel. Remember, the CDC came out in November and said, please don't travel during Thanksgiving. People ignored them. Yeah. They said, please don't travel during Christmas. They ignored them. And what was interesting about that was when you dug down a little deeper, you found out that people weren't traveling to see grandma because they were worried about people who might be vulnerable. They were just traveling because of the pent-up demand to go anywhere. And that's what we're seeing now. So in the next 2 months, as everybody's freezing, as you will be doing in Chicago and I will be doing in New York,
yes,
we'll be getting ready for the end of the first quarter and a huge boom in travel, assuming the vaccine numbers keep going up. And when that happens, when you have that intersection of the vaccine dissemination and the pent-up demand, you will see people getting on planes and getting on the road.
All right, so I need your crystal ball here. Will that V word, you mentioned vaccine, will that be our passport. Will you be able to say, with a passport, of course, if you're going out of the country, but will you be able to say, hey, look, because I know that if you get the vaccine, you do get paperwork, a card, a little card, a kind of size of a driver's license, depending on where you get the vaccine. It indicates you've been vaccinated.
You know what? The answer is a qualified yes. People getting vaccinated now think they're suddenly liberated. They're not. We'll be wearing masks for the next year. Count on it. We'll still get tested because everybody has a different protocol and a different regime. But it's a great step forward, no doubt about it. Now, you mentioned passport, vaccine passports. That's coming. We're already seeing it in Australia where the airline there, Qantas, has said effective immediately if you want to get on a Qantas plane when they start flying, of course, you'll have to show proof of vaccination. You can count on the cruise ships doing it. Already one cruise line, Norwegian, has made it mandatory for every one of their crew members to get vaccinated. So you know passengers are going to be coming right behind that.
Well, 312-981-7200, that's our phone number. You can text as well. For Peter Greenberg, I want to ask Peter more about that, but I also want to ask about this issue regarding comfort dogs, cats, rats, snakes. People have brought on all these animals, and the airlines finally said enough is enough. I'll ask Peter about all that when we come back. It's 1:15 on WGN. WGN, Steve Dale right here. And we are taking it to the streets. We're taking it to our travel guru. He has his eye on travel all the time, including Saturday afternoons right here on WGN. It is Peter Greenberg, and you are very lucky, Chris, because you have an opportunity right now to talk to Peter. Say hello. Hello.
Hi, this is Chris.
I'm right here.
Yep, you can say hello,
Chris,
to Peter Greenberg.
Hi, Great to hear from you. I just wanted to make a statement. I've actually been traveling quite a bit this year, and not only within the U.S., but also internationally. I've been to the Dominican most recently, Colombia, and Mexico. And I will tell you guys that, you know, there's a lot of, I think, misinformation out there of other countries on them being not safe. And I will tell you that what I've seen is that they're actually doing more things out there than we seem to be doing here. And I'll give you an example. I mean, when I got off the airplane, you know, you get scanned several times at the airport for your temperature. In one particular case, they actually did spot COVID tests right there, and you had to wait for your results before you could get through. Hmm. And then all restaurants and bars or any establishments, you have to have a mask. They take your temperature. They have you walk on a mat to make sure you're not tracking things in. I mean, much more. I mean, I come back to the United States, and I don't see that same sense of urgency. And as far as airplanes go, you know, I think it's very safe. I mean, everyone has to wear their mask. You know, they show you the different filter systems they use. And, you know, even though the planes are fairly full, especially if they're going to warm places, you know, I always have felt safe. I will tell you that. So, you know, for those that are concerned about it, I think there's not so much of a reason to be that.
All right. Thank you for your comment. And Chris, I appreciate you calling. Peter, what do you think?
Well, you know what? He's right. And the destinations that he's mentioned, although I will tell you that just 48 hours ago, the Canadian government made a new rule, and no Canadian airline, as of today, will be flying to Mexico or the Caribbean until April 30th. So if you're a Canadian citizen wanting to be one of the snowbirds to go down south, you won't be able to do it. And there is some discussion right now in the Biden administration about at least thinking about doing something like that for U.S. airlines as well. So stay tuned. It's not over yet.
Yeah, see, the thing I don't understand, and listener Chris just alluded to it, I happen to know that at least in some of those places, and some of those places within those places, they're doing a whole lot better than we are right here. So, you know, I understand concern about the new strains and all of that. But again, those new strains are happening right here in America, and if we were doing better surveillance, we'd know about it.
Yeah, but the whole idea is to do better surveillance earlier. We're playing catch-up.
Yes.
In playing catch-up, that's why the Biden administration has put on the ban for all travelers from the United Kingdom, from Brazil, and from South Africa, especially because of those new strains. And the new test results, or the requirements, I should say, that anybody returning to the United States, including American citizens, has to provide proof of a negative COVID-19 test at least 72 hours, or within 72 hours, of your actual departure date, and you have to show that at the airport or you can't board your flight home.
Do you think that's enough? I mean, will that solve the problem?
I think it will mitigate it to a great extent. I'm in favor of it. Look. The examples that you want to use are Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah,
they've done a brilliant job, and they have not yet opened their borders, but they're reporting no cases, and that's where we need to be. We're not there yet.
Oh no, we are certainly not. So pre-pandemic, you'd hop on an airplane. I'm sure you've experienced this, and there were all kinds of animals periodically on an airplane because the person who had that animal, which include dogs and cats, went online and said, online, I have a comfort dog or cat, still most often a dog or cat. The peacock on an airplane was an exception to the rule, but nevertheless, it happened. But no matter, people would go online with that dog or a cat, fill out a form. Person who has never met the dog or cat says, yes, that animal, I'll vouch for that animal, I'll fill out the paperwork if you pay me $50, and that animal is now a comfort animal. And the airlines has finally said, you know, legitimate service dogs, another story. But as far as these comfort animals, enough is enough. Can you talk about that a little, please?
Oh, I know we can talk about it. I did the story on it for CBS. It got very crazy out there because it wasn't an airline rule. It was a Department of Transportation rule. And the Department of Transportation refused to make a rule to ban these so-called emotional support animals. So based on the definitions, which didn't exist, I mean, I was on a plane once with a miniature horse. I was on a plane once with a small cow. And just to prove the point of how crazy it was, we did a piece for CBS where I went to a farm in Pennsylvania, filled out the form that you talked about. It was $150 to get some sort of psychologist who never met me to say that I would snap if I didn't have this animal with me, and we got a pig. And we got the pig certified. We got its little red vest. And we did a segment for CBS called, of course, When Pigs Fly.
And, yes.
And this went on and on and on. The DOT would not make a rule. It was getting crazy up there in the air because the flight attendants were seriously in trouble because of it, because they were getting bitten all the time, especially by people's dogs who didn't understand when the flight attendant leaned over to give you the meal or the drink that they were not attacking the owner. They had no place. They were not required to be in any kind of a container. So they were roaming all over the plane and doing other things all over the plane, as you can imagine. Finally, and of course, it was a great disservice to the true service animals that really should be flying with people who have either a sight, hearing, or mobility disability, and they were getting upset about it as well. Finally, the DOT issued a new rule that defines what a service animal is. And a service animal, it can only be a specially trained dog trained to do nothing but assist that person with that disability. So from now on, and every other airline now has followed suit because they have the ammunition because of the DOT rule, they've banned all those emotional support animals. And if you want to fly with Fluffy or Fido now, it has to be small enough to fit under the seat in front of you in a container, and you pay for that. And sometimes the airfare for the dog is more than yours. Or if it's too big to fit under the seat in front of you, then it goes into an approved kennel in the cargo hold on your flight. So we're back to the old days where nobody could take advantage of this loophole, and that's a good thing.
Well, it's a good thing, but the problem is that there are legitimate reasons for people sometimes to want to fly with animals that are too large to fit under the seat in front of them. The other thing that you point out correctly, absolutely correctly, people with legitimate service dogs paid a price for all this. They have legitimate animals to help them, but it includes invisible disabilities as well, which are a long list. Diabetic detecting dogs, seizure detecting dogs. And right. As I say, it's a very long list, and I agree with you about that. And Norbert, you have a comment on this as well. Hi.
Yeah. Hi, how you doing? In regards to service animals, there is miniature horses there for guiding. Blind, visually impaired, I worked with Service Dogs of America, which is in California. The bigger issue is that the ADA doesn't want to put a central database of these animals as well. There is no such place where an airline could go look, okay, this animal is verified that it's a legitimate service animal for a blind person or deaf person or whatnot, and there's no way to combat it. I've personally myself seen these fake service animals in at airports, even till today, that they still push them through because they just don't want to deal with the headache of that customer yelling, screaming, and whatnot. There should be a central database for these animals in order for to provide the help for visually impaired people, because this is a bigger
and
issue.
Norbert, I can help you with that. I can help you with that. Under the new rules, every airline has not just done a blanket barring of these animals. What they've done is, if you have a disability and you have a documented animal that has been trained, you just have to show them the documentation, and there's not a question asked. So that's the good news. It's the gray area of the so-called emotional support animal. That's gone, and I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, and a lot of people also don't know that a guide dog needs to pass 100 different commands in order to even be a guide dog. I mean, there's so many. These animals are so intelligent, and the ones that are legitimately intelligent are, should not be mistaken for someone's little fluffy.
Yep, Norbert.
I've gone to the services that have actually trained these dogs. It's amazing to see what they go through. Norbert's actually correct.
Yep. Thank you, Norbert. Let me get to some of the text here. Is it safer to go by plane, boat, or train? I don't know how you can answer that in 1 minute, but go for it.
I can't. I can't, because I don't know where you're going. I don't know how long the trip is, and I don't know the name of the ship, and I don't know the train that you're taking, nor the airline that you're flying. Other than that, happy to help you.
I'll take it. Are cruises going to start anytime soon?
I would say probably July or August, and they're going to be the first ones that are going to require that vaccination passport, and their protocols are going to change. You're not just going to be able to go off on the port when you land and explore the city on your own. Everything will be escorted, vetted, socially distanced. The buses that normally hold 56 people will hold 28. And that's going to happen sometime in July or August. Anytime you have a cruise ship that says they're sailing in April, May, or June, don't count on it.
Here's an interesting question here. How is Mexico going to survive, since parts of Mexico, anyway, depend on tourism? That's a good text.
That's a question that is difficult to answer. With Canada cutting them off right now, and America probably going to be imposing new rules, the only way they're going to be able to survive is the hotels and resorts pivoting to provide those COVID-19 tests for free, and also offer guests, as some Mexican hotels are already doing, that if you do test positive, they'll put you up at the hotel for 14 days with your significant other on them. That's an incentive to talk about what people aren't talking about, but they're thinking about. I don't want to go somewhere and get stuck and not be able to get home. This sort of handles that problem. So watch the private sector start to pivot throughout the Caribbean and in Mexico to deal with this.
Hey, I'm looking out the window. That wouldn't be a bad option, you know, to stay on the beach for an extra week or so as I look at the snow fall in Chicago. Yeah. And incidentally, it is continuing to fall downtown. Peter Greenberg, thank you so much for doing this. I always appreciate your time.
You got it. Anytime.